Welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And this is Word Magazine number 70, being recorded on Thursday, February the 16th of 2017. Believe it or not, this is the third now Word Magazine I've recorded this week, trying to get caught up in 2017. Since I had gotten off to a slow start. Today's episode is going to be a review of a translation of the Bible, more specifically the New Testament portion of that translation. And the version that I'm going to be reviewing is called the Recovery Version of the Bible, or the Recovery Version of the New Testament. And I learned of this translation recently when I had a student ask me about it, if I knew of it. She said that this was the version that was used in her church, and I had to tell her I was not familiar with that translation, and I told her I would do some research on it, and so I have done some research on it. When she said, asked me if I knew the Recovery Version of the Bible, at first, I thought she was probably talking about some evangelical study Bible. Of course, the market is flooded with Bibles that are printed by the various publishing companies, and they're trying to hit a niche market. And where our culture is awash with addictions and recovery programs and Christian, 12-step programs or whatever. So I figured that probably that's what she was talking about, was maybe some, modern translation, the NIV, the New Living Translation, and there were study Bible notes that were focused on people who are recovering from addictions, alcoholism or drugs or whatever, bulimia, whatever. And in fact, I looked online at Amazon.com to see what was there, and sure enough, there is an NIV Celebrate Recovery Study Bible. There is the Life Recovery Bible in the New Living Translation. But that was not what she was talking about. In fact, the Recovery Version of the Bible, or the Recovery Version New Testament, is not a study Bible that is concerned with addiction or recovery from addiction at all. But the recovery in the title has to do with recovery or restoration of primitive Christianity. So the recovery translation or the recovery version is really a restorationist version of the Bible, or a translation of the Bible that comes from a restorationist, a modern restorationist movement. So I discovered that the Recovery Version of the Bible is published by an organization called Living Stream Ministry. And if you go to their website, they prominently mention that they are the publishers of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And those names may strike you as somewhat strange, but those two men were Chinese men who were involved in this movement. You can look Watchman Nee up on Wikipedia. He lived from 1903 to 1972. He was a dynamic Chinese teacher who founded an independent local church movement that spread to several other Asian nations, and then it has also spread now to the West, and there are churches that are connected with Watchman Nee's teaching in the United States. I had heard of Watchman Nee before. I think I even have a couple of his books on my shelf. I've certainly seen his books in Christian bookstores. And then the other person that's mentioned at the Living Stream Ministry website is Witness Lee. And Witness Lee is a man who lived from 1905 to 1997. He was Watchman Nee's protege in this movement. He became a leader within the movement and then was sort of, it seems like, Watchman Nee's successor when he died. And Witness Lee was apparently involved as something like the general editor of the Recovery Version Bible and wrote the very extensive footnotes that we'll mention throughout the review. So I went to online to look and at the website for Recovery Version of Bible, there is an online version of it. And I found some old links to the Old Testament, but I found fresh ones to the online version of the New Testament. And I was looking at that, but at the bottom of the page, I found this rather what seemed to me odd copyright note. And the copyright note says, "We hope that many will benefit from these spiritual riches. However, for the sake of avoiding confusion, we ask that none of these materials be downloaded or copied and republished elsewhere, electronically or otherwise. Living Stream Ministry retains full copyright on all these materials in hopes that our visitors will respect this." I'm not even sure if I'm violating that by reading the copyright aloud. That seems strange to me because here you are, they're offering that you can search and look at passages from the New Testament of the Recovery Version Bible, but they tell you that you can't republish that in any form. So that just struck me as being kind of odd. You're putting it up on the web, but then you're saying people can't, you know, use it in any form. So you couldn't, I don't know, copy and paste a verse and put it on your blog or email it to a friend. Anyway, just seemed, and then the language, to avoid confusion. I mean, what kind of confusion is there exactly? What are they afraid of? Is the you know, my radar goes up and says, what's going on here? So, anyway, I found that kind of, a bit strange. I let the student who had asked me about, we had the conversation about it because she was interested in using that for class. And I had to tell her, I don't, you know, given that copyright, I don't think you should use that because they're saying if you're using the online version, they're saying, you know, you couldn't, you know, quote it in papers or online discussion boards for the class without getting their permission for it. Anyway, so this, you know, my interest is piqued now on this Recovery Version Bible. So if you Google search Living Stream Ministry, you'll come to their website. And as I combed through it, I found, you know, some kind of interesting information. And then if you just Google Living Stream Ministry, you'll get other links. And I discovered that there have been some questions that have been raised by evangelical Christians about the theology of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee and some of the practices of what I'm going to call the Living Stream Ministry church movement. And one of the things that I ran across was an open letter that is signed by 70 mainstream evangelical Christian leaders, including some presidents of Southern Baptist seminaries and others, and also a 2007 press release that relates to the open letter. And by the way, I should have said this in the beginning, I'm going to do a post on my blog, jeffriddle.net, on this review of the Recovery Version of the Bible, and I will include in that post links to various things, to Living Stream Ministries, to the open letter, to the press release. So you can look there. But anyways, if you read the open letter that was put forward by these evangelical leaders in 2007, it seems to focus on four concerns related to the teachings of Witness Lee in particular. First of all, it raises questions about the doctrine of God, his doctrine of God, especially it seems, just reading some, the quotes, and they have quotations from his writings, some things about the Trinity and Christology, Jesus' place in their understanding of the Trinity. And then secondly, they have some quotations about his views on the doctrine of man, on anthropology. Thirdly, there are questions raised about the doctrine of the church that is expressed by Witness Lee. And here the heading is concerns about the legitimacy of evangelical churches and denominations. And the idea from these quotations is that they're in Witness Lee's writings and in the Living Stream Ministry church movement, we could call it, there is a sense that they are the only true church and other churches, all other churches are false churches. And then the fourth concern that is raised, it relates to lawsuits with evangelical Christians. Apparently, the Living Stream Ministry has been litigious in going after individuals and groups that have criticized them. He has already said, if you look at this open letter, there are citations that are given from Witness Lee's writings to illustrate these concerns. With regard to the writings that are cited, I noticed that on the concerns expressed about the doctrine of the church, it seems that, as already said, that the charge seems to be that Witness Lee had disparaged the legitimacy of Christian churches outside their own movement. And you might pause here for a moment and say, well, you know, as a Reformed Christian, a Calvinistic Christian, I frequently criticize the Roman Catholic Church as preaching a different gospel. I also would frequently criticize mainline Protestants who have abandoned preaching the biblical gospel and traded in for a social gospel. But I wouldn't say that the only true church is Christ Reformed Baptist Church, or the only true church are Reformed Baptists. We will recognize that there are, you know, many true churches that bear different doctrinal and practical emphases. We don't see denominationalism as something that is evil. In fact, we were talking about this on Wednesday night in our Bible study and prayer meeting. There can be things that are positive about denominations, and so we're happy to have the name Baptist, for example, in the name of our church. But with regard to that, it was interesting that some of the passages that were cited under Witness Lee's writings were taken from the Recovery Version New Testament notes, including a note at Mark 16:18 that describes, quote, apostate Roman Catholic and Protestant denominations, end quote. And also at Revelation 3:8, there's a note that describes, quote, the apostate church denominating its herself. And so obviously the Living Stream Christian Church movement is apparently, based on the writings of Witness Lee, not just non-denominational, but maybe we could describe them as anti-denominational, and not really distinguishing between, you know, liberal mainline Protestants and evangelicals. So this movement, again, I'm going to call it the Living Stream Ministry Church Movement, appears to be a restorationist movement. What do I mean by that? A movement within Christianity that's sort of a back-to-the-Bible movement, an attempt to purify. And we might say the Reformation was a restorationist movement. But we think more of like, more recently, the Disciples of Christ movement, or Campbellism, the Campbellite movement, these types of movements reject creeds, confessions. They just want the Bible, the Bible alone. And again, tendency to demonize. They're the only ones who have true Christianity, and so forth. So it seems like it's a restorationist movement. I went to the website for the Living Stream Ministry Church that's in Charlottesville, the area where I live, and sure enough, it's there. I don't know if this is typical for all these the organizations that are connected with the movement, but it doesn't really have a name. It simply calls itself the Church in Charlottesville. Very modest name, right? And again, even that name has the sense of, you know, we have a corner on Christianity. We are the Church in Charlottesville. And there's a page on the webpage for the church, and it looks like it comes from retreat. The group picture seems like it consists mainly of young people. That's always something, by the way, that should worry you if you look at a church and it's only people of one age. And I think it should particularly worry you if it's only younger people, if it's only people in their 20s, only college-age people. And this picture looks like maybe a lot of university students. There are also a lot of Asians. I don't know if these are, you know, internationals, some internationals too, or Asian Americans. But anyways, you can't really have a Titus II church unless there's an intergenerational, you know, dynamic within it. So I'm worried about churches that just attract young people. If you look at the doctrinal statement for the church on that website, and again, I'm just thinking of the one that's here locally. I'm assuming it's probably typical of churches within the Living Stream ministry church movement. There's an 8-bullet-point doctrinal statement. Again, there's not a classical confession like the Westminster Confession or the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. When you read through the bullet points, you know, they seem generally evangelical. There's a statement about the Bible being inspired. There's a statement that says God is uniquely one yet triune, so it seems to affirm the Trinity, although, as I said, the open letter asks some questions about how they understand the Trinity, how they understand Christ. It's got a statement, Christ died on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood for our redemption. So it sounds like an Arminian universal view of atonement. One of the bullet points is, whenever any person repents to God and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is regenerated and becomes a living member of the body of Christ. So it's very Arminian. You know, faith comes before regeneration, as opposed to the Reformed view, we would think the biblical view, that regeneration precedes faith. But there's nothing in the statement that, you know, screams out heresy. And then they have a frequently asked questions page. And I read through that, and there are a few things that, you know, knowing the other things that I've sort of already found and reading the open letter, that sort of raise some questions. I mean, one of the statements is, what kind of Bible do you use? And it says probably the personal Bible collections of our church members are as diverse and expansive as any other congregation. So, you know, they're saying maybe they read other translations. But then it says, but when we gather together for larger meetings, we frequently find it useful to use the same text, the Recovery Version. The Recovery Version of the New Testament is based on the Nestle-Aland Greek text, is found in the Novum Testamentum Graecae 26th edition, and is part of the great heritage of Bible translations through church history, including but not limited to the KJV, the ASV, the NASB, and many other translations. So it doesn't seem like they're Recovery Version only for personal use, but it seems like they are Recovery Version only for their meetings, and I'm assuming for their teaching or preaching. So anyways, then when it asks, what denomination are you? It says, we are not part of any denomination. We follow the New Testament pattern, which shows Christ believers who congregate only on the basis of the locality in which they live. But then it asks about relationships with other local churches. And it says, we have a rich fellowship with thousands of other local churches throughout the world to express the body of Christ. Members in the church frequently travel to visit other churches, both locally and internationally. My guess is, though, knowing the little bit of research I did, that probably that fellowship is only with other Living Stream ministry churches, for lack of a better name for them. And also, there's a section in the frequently asked questions about what is your relationship with Witness Lee and Watchman Nee. And it talks kind of glowingly about them. In fact, it says that Watchman Nee should be included with other influential Christians like Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, Bunyan, Wesley, Whitfield, Spurgeon, Moody. I mean, that's interesting in and of itself because, you've got somebody who's a Lutheran, you got somebody who, like Luther, a Methodist, an Arminian like Wesley, a Calvinist like Bunyan or Spurgeon. So that's interesting of in and of itself. And then it also likewise has some positive things to say about Witness Lee. There are some things that, give me some caution about the description here of this church. I also noted on the when I read through the frequently asked questions page that it doesn't list, even throughout the whole website, no names are given for any pastors. There's not a listing of the church officers, the elders, the deacons. And in, there's a note that says the church treasures apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I'm wondering, do they believe that the office of apostle still exists? Do they think it's an ordinary office in the church today? Do they think Watchman Nee and Witness Lee are apostles? Now that they're gone, are there apostles in the Living Stream church movement? None of those things are really answered in the frequently asked question, and maybe somebody out there knows more about this movement. It might enlighten me. So I wanted to get a copy. I wanted to get a hard copy of the book. I'm thinking more of my interest in just text and translation of the Bible. So I wanted to get a copy of it. And after I read the online note, I didn't want to just depend on the online version. And also was interested to see what their Old Testament looked like. So I thought I'll just order a hard copy version. Or I was probably more likely thinking I'll just go to Amazon and get a used copy from someone. But then when I went to Amazon, I discovered that the Recovery Version Bible is expensive. It was like $129 for a hardback of the entire Bible. It was $99 for a softback of the entire Bible. But I discovered that they had less expensive paperback versions. And in fact, I discovered that they offer to send anyone who requests a free paperback mass-produced type copy of the New Testament. So I requested one, and I got it in the mail about a week or two ago. So this review, the rest of it, is coming from my examination of this copy that I got of the Recovery Version New Testament. It's a small volume, very small lettering. Almost need a magnifying glass for my failing eyes for it. Obviously, it must be centered for younger people because I would have a hard time seeing it. But so I went through and want to offer a few thoughts. This is not going to be extensive at all. I mean, I have only read selectively, examined it selectively, but I want to offer a few points of review and feedback on it. So one of the first observations about it is that there are a lot of notes. There are a copious amount of notes within this Recovery Version New Testament. I started off looking just at the front matter, which I always tell my students, you should always read the first couple of pages. And when I looked at that in the front matter on the title page, it says that the translation was done by the editorial section, Living Stream Ministry. So it was a joint translation. It's not any one individual. And then it says the outline, the footnotes, the charts, the references are written by Witness Lee. So although the translation was a group effort, all the other material, the commentary, notes, study material, all come from one person, Witness Lee. I also noticed that it says that there's a copyright note on it that also says all rights reserved. No part of this work may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, graphic, electronic, or mechanical, including photocopying, recording, or information storage and retrieval systems without written permission from the publisher. And, you know, normally in something that's printed, you are allowed to have brief quotations and references in for a review. And so I hope I'm not doing anything illegal by doing this review. And if they're litigious, I hope I'm not slapped with an order to take down my blog post, because I had planned to take a couple pictures of a few things and include it. So I'm gonna risk that. I hope that's not unethical or illegal. So also examining the title page and the material, it says that it was first published in 1985, and then there was a revised edition in 1991 that was put out. So I guess this is the revised edition of 1991 for the Recovery Version New Testament. There's also, after the title page, there's a couple of pages that is titled A Brief Explanation, and this comes from Witness Lee and the editorial section, August the 1st, 1991, Anaheim, California. And so I read through this, just about a page and a half, and it notes that the Recovery Version attempts, it says, quote, to avoid biases and inaccurate judgments, end quote. It also states that a proper translation requires not only a proper understanding of the original languages, but also, quote, the divine revelation in the Holy Word. One of the things that stood out in reading the brief explanation is the very high view that it has for this translation and for the notes. And I'm just going to look. This is the second paragraph. It says, translating the Bible depends not only on adequate comprehension of the original language, but also on a proper understanding of the divine revelation in the Holy Word. Throughout the centuries, the understanding of the divine revelation possessed by the saints has always been based upon the light they received, and this understanding has progressed steadily. The consummation of this understanding forms the basis of this translation and its footnotes. Hence, this translation and the accompanying footnotes could be called the crystallization of the understanding of the divine revelation, which the saints everywhere have attained to in the past 2,000 years. It is our hope that the Recovery Version will carry on the heritage that it has received and will pave the way for future generations. I'm a little bothered by that, because it seems to be saying that the translation and the notes are, again, their words, consummation or crystallization of 2,000 years of previous study. And I'm wondering, you know, is that saying too much about a mere translation? And in particular, is it saying too much about those notes, those theological notes that are there? So it also says, with regard to translation, that it makes use of the Nestle-Aland 26th edition of the Greek New Testament, but it says it takes some liberties and offers some departures from that. And we'll see in just a moment that indeed that is the case. It takes a number of departures from the modern critical text. But we're now in the 28th edition, 2012. This is based on the 26th edition of the Nestle-Aland text. So speaking of text, let's go ahead and talk about that for a moment. So it essentially seems to be a translation that accepts the modern critical text. Obviously, it's not based on the Textus Receptus or the majority text. So it seems to embrace a reconstructionist perspective, trying to reconstruct the original text in the New Testament. As I look through, and again, this is not exhaustive, this is just suggestive. As I look through the Recovery Version New Testament, it seemed to me that the best description of the text is to call it a mixed text, because there are readings that are from the modern critical text, but also there are a lot of readings that are retained from the Textus Receptus. And I made a list of just a few passages that I looked at. And again, I'll have this on the blog post at jeffriddle.net. So there are a number of readings that follow the Textus Receptus, and here are some examples. It has the doxology of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13. At Mark 16:9-20, the so-called longer ending, it's not put in brackets. It's just there in the text, and it doesn't do what some of the modern translations are doing, putting in, you know, the shorter ending or the freer logion. It's just Mark 16:9-20. However, there is a footnote at verse 9 that says many ancient manuscripts omit verses 9-20. At John 1:18, it reads Jesus is the only begotten Son rather than only begotten God, as in many modern translations. John 5:3b and 4, verses that are omitted or relegated to the footnotes in many modern translations, it includes them in the text, although there is a footnote at verse 3 that says some manuscripts omit this last part of verse 3 and all of verse 4. John 7:53-11, the woman caught in adultery, is included as part of the text with no brackets. However, there is a footnote at verse 53, many ancient manuscripts omit 7:53-11. At Acts 8:37, that verse is included, the confession of the Ethiopian eunuch before his baptism, although in the footnote it says many ancient manuscripts omit this verse. So it includes many of the verses that are included in the TR but rejected in the modern critical text. On the other hand, it has a number of readings that do follow the modern critical text, and I have a list of a few examples of this. At Mark 1:12, it says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, which follows the modern critical text. At Mark chapter 9, verses 44 and 46 are omitted, although there is a footnote at verse 46 that says some manuscripts insert verse 46, and there's also an extended footnote at verse 48 of Mark 9. 1 Timothy 3:16, rather than the Textus Receptus, God was manifest in the flesh, it reads, he was manifested in the flesh. So it follows the modern critical text there. The Coma Ioanneum, 1 John 5:7b through 8a, is omitted, and there's not even a footnote. So it's very much like the many modern translations in that regard, completely disregards the Coma Ioanneum. Revelation 16:5, it reads, who is and was the Holy One, rather than, as in the TR, who is and who was and who is to come. And in Revelation 22:19, rather than the TR's Book of Life, it reads Tree of Life. So again, with regard to text, it's a mixed bag. It follows the TR in places, but follows the modern critical text in other places. With regard to this Recovery Version Bible as a translation, I did not look really extensively into this, but I did notice on their website for the version, they have examples of readings, and I'll put a link there so you can look at it. My surface impression is that the translation, just looking at, glancing at a few of these verses, is I would say it's probably like the text. I said the text was a mixed text, TR and modern critical text. I would say the translation probably seems to me like a mixed translation, in that it sometimes seems to follow what we could call the Tyndale King James Version, traditional English usage, biblical usage. In some places, in other places, it follows some of the modern translation innovations. So we've looked at text, we've looked at translation. Last of all, I want to say a couple things about the notes. And obviously, this is the most controversial thing about this Bible, is the fact that it has these extensive notes. Each one of the books in the New Testament is preceded by an extended outline. The notes, as I said before, are copious. They are very extensive. In fact, I would even say they often swallow up and eclipse the text. I mean, there are some pages where there's one or two verses and the rest of the page are notes. And in that sense, I think it might be better to call the Recovery Version Bible not really it's not really a study Bible. I would say it's more like a commentary that provides the text of the Bible. And you can often buy commentaries that will you know, have a quotation from the Bible in some version and then the commentary on it. And the Recovery Version Bible in some ways might be better described as a commentary. The notes are extensive. And given that this is the only approved translation in the Living Stream Ministry church movement, apparently the only one that's read and I'm guessing preached and taught from, gives me some concern, because it's not just, again, the translation. It's also the translation plus the notes. And one wonders why there is not more confidence in simply printing the text of the Bible without the extensive notes. This is an issue, you know, for all Christians. When we have to have an intricate system of notes to interpret what it is we believe to, we're having a lack of confidence in the sufficiency of the Scriptures. And then there are the specific problems with the notes. And I already mentioned the points raised by the open letter relating to the ecclesiology in places like Matthew 16:18, the note there, and the note at Revelation 3:8. Another thing that is obvious to me, again, without giving it an extensive reading, is, you know, my surface reading looking through it is that the notes are definitely very influenced by dispensational premillennial theology. So Witness Lee is definitely a dispensational premillennialist of some stripe. There are some extensive charts. There's one in the beginning on Matthew that is a chart showing the differences between the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God. And it definitely shows a premillennial second coming of Christ. It lays out dispensations. So it reflects a dispensational theology. And then there are charts at the very end of it also that are about the 70 weeks of Daniel and so forth. And so, again, it reflects a dispensational theology. And the odd thing is often in churches like this, they claim to be a restorationist. We just want the Bible. It's just pure Bible. But then you've got it's the pure Bible plus the notes, because if you just have a plain sense reading the Bible, you're probably not going to come up with the extensive chart-guided eschatology that doesn't come from a plain sense reading. You've got to have the Bible plus these notes to come up with this dispensational premillennial theology. And with dispensationalism also come other issues. What's their view on the law? What's their view on the moral law of God? What's their view on the fourth commandment? What's their view on the church? What's their view on ethnic Israel? What's their view on Israel in the Old Testament? And it's another thing I find interesting, maybe typical given their dispensationalism, is the fact that, you know, they have a very ready, inexpensive availability, even giving away the New Testament. But it seems like their Old Testament, and I'm assuming the corresponding notes from Witness Lee on the Old Testament, don't seem nearly so readily available. And that also raises a kind of a warning flag for me, and I think it probably should be for others who would come into contact with this version. So overall, although this Recovery Version Bible has apparently been in existence since 1985, revised in 1991, I was completely unaware of this translation until this year, till 2017. As the review that I've given has indicated, I do have some serious concerns about this translation and its notes, its accompanying notes. And as far as I know, it's not printed without the notes. And so I could not recommend this translation for regular use. With regard to its text, it has a mixed text of the New Testament. Not sure, again, what the Old Testament is, whether it's based on the Masoretic text or, like many modern translations, if it makes adjustments. With regard to the notes, I'm not in agreement with the theological viewpoint expressed in the notes. I also don't think it would be safe, in my view, to attend a church that would require exclusive use of this translation of the Bible in its public meetings. I'm glad it seems like that they are saying that individuals might use other Bibles, but I would be, I would not be content with using this as the Bible in public worship, because I'm concerned by, again, the front matter and sort of elevating the notes as having a special place alongside of the translation itself. So anyways, that concludes my review of the Recovery Version Bible. I hope that this review will be helpful, profitable, edifying to those who listen to it, and look forward to presenting another Word Magazine as we continue to try to get caught up in 2017. Till we meet again, take care and God bless.